And kind of reminds me of like free range eggs. You know, the yolks are so yellow.
And there's just
like
something
the
about
so yellow. It's pretty.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
There's even been times where I've ran out of all of my go-to flours and I really want to make something sourdough and I even thrown all purpose in there. And again, you said, it's adaptable. It just, it's really hard to kill. And I think another thing that people
I think so too,
tell me a lot of times is they see this black layer, you know, after it's been sitting in the fridge for a little bit and they throw it away. And you and I know that that's normal. That black layer of liquid on top, I think it's called hooch. I think it,
I've heard it called that, but word on the street.
Right. I don't know what the real name is for it, but that's what I've heard it called.
Yeah. No, that's a thing. That's a thing. Yeah. For sure. I get questions all the time. Like there's a watery layer on top of mine. And you know, I added a troubleshooting section to my blog post on it because I had gotten all these questions and, you know, I say just play with it. Know that variations are normal depending on, like you said earlier, what type of grain you're using. Your starter might be a different consistency or a little bit different. And then the water too. I think that's something to think about. I know, you know, you talk about your Berkey all the time. Having good quality water, I think that can affect it too.
Right.
Because I've troubleshooted with some people that I know had been using some chemically treated water, just kind of city water. And we went to filtered water and that solved the problem.
Okay.
Have you heard that?
Well, that makes a lot of sense, but I hadn't actually thought to address that with people. I mean, I put it in my post that you should use a good quality water, but I didn't necessarily consider how important and how that might change the kind of like the bacteria in the starter.
I think it does. I think it you know, kind of kills some
of
it.
Well, it
makes
a lot of sense.
It just doesn't get that same rise.
Like if you had, you know, chlorinated city water, wouldn't it kill off some of the beneficial bacteria and yeast that you're trying to bring into this?
For sure.
So, yeah, because the process of starter and the science behind it is that it is capturing the wild yeast that are native to the environment. So a starter here where Stephanie and I live might be a little bit different in a different part of the country. It's what's really cool about it too, is because it's native.
Yeah, very cool. You know, when I started this, I was talking about it with my husband and he's like, you know, I think my grandma had one. And so his grandma's still living. She's 93, 94. I get to talk to her about a lot of this stuff.
How fun.
She told me all kinds of stories about her mother had a starter. And apparently like her mother was the person to go to get a little bit of her starter. So other people could get theirs going.
How fun.
She said she just has memories of that. Like people coming over and asking her, do you have some yeast? They did not call it a starter.
They called it yeast.
Like that's, I mean, you know, like look back in the Bible, all the verses, you know, with referencing yeast
and it didn't rise in 1 hour.
Would just come over,
which is why they had to have the unleavened bread because you know, like the yeast you buy in the packets today, I can get a fully risen loaf of bread in 1 hour, literally.
Which is cool. I keep it on hand because I would rather, like, you know, if life's crazy and we're busy and I realize, oh my gosh, we don't have any bread and like I don't have time to go to the store, you know, we don't live exactly in town. Then I can just whip up a loaf of like quick rice bread and a couple hours. It's fine.
But back in the day, they didn't have that. And so, I mean, to get a loaf of sourdough bread, how long does it take for you? Like, what's your fastest?